What up, what up? Jimmy Murray here with Frank Catalano, and we are the Cashflow Kings. The Cashflow Kings podcast discusses money, finance, mindset, and investing with an emphasis on cash flowing real estate.
Thanks for joining the Cashflow Kings, and welcome to our new episode, Magical Decisions with Alex Ramone. We are here to help you crush your goals.
So, Alex, welcome.
What's up, guys?
And guys listening in, so we actually met Alex at the most recent Main Street over Wall Street event, and Alex was actually the host, and he has a magical story. Is that too bad?
No, that's just vague enough to build interest, guys. So we met Main Street over Wall Street, which is Cody Sanchez's big live event every single year. This was her fourth year, and there was well over 750 people, maybe 800 people, give or take, at this event. It's kind of amazing to see how large this event has grown over the years. And I joined Cody Sanchez's Contrarian Thinking community as one of the first members. I was maybe member 200, 195, like it was pretty small. And I attended the first one. I loved it so much. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with Cody and what she does, which she teaches small business acquisition. And yep. I joined, I bought a business, and then she found out what I actually did. And then she asked me to MC and host. And so I'm kind of the resident MC and host of all Contrarian Thinking, of all Cody Sanchez events. And what I actually do, I'm trying to build the suspense, right? What I actually do is I'm a professional magician, and I have a residency at Caesars Republic Casino in Lake Tahoe. And I run my show there 9 months of the year, five nights a week. And that's what I've been doing. I've never had another job. I've never done anything else. I've been performing ever since I was 13 years old, and worked my way through high school doing magic shows, and then had some opportunity to tour some big productions and early in my 20s. And it led me on my way to produce my own show. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And most entertainers are gig workers, right? They're waiting for the event. They are waiting to be hired. They're waiting to be booked. And then once an agent or a client is throwing a party or an event, they go to hire them. They go, here's my fee. And they want somebody to give them their fee. And I kind of hated that. And I didn't accept that somebody had to decide that I was good enough to book and pay my fee in order for me to pay my bills. Like, I don't accept that. Right. And so I took a more entrepreneurial approach, which is kind of the spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit, in performing and being an entertainer and being a magician. So I began producing my own shows and tours, which means in the business, I do what's called four walling, which is essentially renting the four walls of a theater from a venue, from a casino, from a property. And so essentially I have a leased contract for the theater at the casino, and the casino does not pay me, but I make my money off of ticket sales. So I'm actually running a business, and I have payroll, and I have marketing, and I have production expenses, and I have all of the other things that a normal business would have in order to perform and do my shows. And so I make money off of ticket sales and merchandise sales post show. And again, very, very different for an entertainer. Most entertainers do not do that at all. They just want their fee. So that's
Most are employees. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Most are gig workers. And so they just like, let me do my act, let me do my show. And the business side of things is not in their purview. They're not interested in that. It's kind of like the creative side. They're just like, hey, look, I'm a performer, I'm an entertainer. And I say this humbly, but like I had both. I had the creative side. I had the entertainer spirit. Let me reverse that. I had the creator side and abilities and artistic abilities to perform and be an entertainer. But I also had the mentality and the mindset of an entrepreneur. And I think it was a nice, beautiful marriage between the two that led me on my way in my career. So that's kind of the backstory of what I've done and how once I joined the Contrarian Thinking community that Cody, you know, she's like, oh, you're learning how to, you know, buy small businesses. We're going to teach you this and that. And then it's like, so what's your business own right now? And I'm like,
you're like me.
I'm the product and the service. Okay. And so I was like, I have a show and I'm a magician. And she's like, no way, get out of here. Can you do a trick right now? And I was like, yeah. And so it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey, and I've loved every minute of it, and really, really love what I do. I love it.
So where do you think you got like that business sense from? Is that innate? Is it learned? Like, where did you pick that up along the way?
So, okay, great question. And Cody and I share similar upbringings. My grandfather, certainly it's not this, it's not the same. They're not exact. I'm going to tell you mine, but I'm saying it's similar. My grandparents came from Mexico, and they had this, immigrant hustle, let's go. And when they came over in the 30s, my grandfather came with his family. Let's start working. We're Americans. We're trying to, work and hustle. And he had that grit that is so needed to be an entrepreneur. And so I think that's where it comes from. I really do, is that, hey, we're going to make it work. We're going to be successful. We're going to go all in.
I love
We
that.
love that. We see a lot on the first generation immigrant mentality of being hustlers and making it work no matter what.
Well, because it's a way of thinking. It's a worldview. Because when you look through the lens of opportunity, right? Like, I personally believe the world is not short of opportunity. You will have opportunities throughout your life all the time. And I know a blessing of mine that I have, that I've been blessed with, is that I've always been given opportunities. Now it's my responsibility, and I have to have the commitment to deliver on the opportunities that are presented on me.
100%.
And if I'm not prepared adequately, that opportunity is going to pass me up. But I don't believe there's, a lot of people say, hey, look, you might only have three real big at-bats your whole life. And whatever. I personally don't believe that. I don't. I think that you will always be met with opportunities. At least that's what I've found in my life. And sometimes I missed. Sometimes there's been opportunities that passed me by because I wasn't prepared, or I didn't deliver, or it just wasn't right. But I believe that if you look through that lens, you will be able to find success. You'll be able to find purpose. You'll be able to find where you can have your biggest impact and reach your greatest potential looking through those lens. And I don't believe, if you don't look through the lens of opportunity, that you can do that you can actually maximize your potential. I think that's part
100%.
of the puzzle.
100%. So has it always been like rainbows and butterflies and pulling rabbits out of hats, or like you got some
Oh,
cool like
no. No. Okay.
stories of
Okay.
struggle and triumph here?
Bro. Okay. So for the listeners, okay, before we started recording, you guys had mentioned that when I was emceeing, I gave one of my kind of origin stories. And I was like, no, like, wait, we're not recording yet, right? Like, let's record before we tell this. But I told a story. And Jimmy, I never have told that story before.
What?
I've never shared that before. Okay. So,
That was so good.
thank
Honestly,
you.
I sat and I was candidly, and I'm not saying this because you're in front of me, I was studying your delivery because I'm a natural introvert. I've had a fair amount of opportunities to speak on stage, and that's been really cool. Like most recently, I had my first national speaking gig in San Diego, coming from the East Coast. That was
That's
super cool.
good. Congrats. That's
And
so
I would
cool.
love to be on stage at Main Street over Wall Street. I want working to earn that now. But candidly, like when I meet a speaker who's very introverted, very good. I was one, very entertained, but two, taking notes on your delivery because it was impressive. And clearly, you've put in a ton of work there.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I've leveraged my experience performing literally thousands of shows to millions around the world in my delivery. But the story I told was the first time I ever told the story. So let's, for the listeners, for those of you listening in, I had all these opportunities that I mentioned to perform doing magic, and I had a residency at a casino in Lake Tahoe, and that residency closed because the property was being remodeled. So it's not that they were getting rid of me, is that they're going, hey, they sold the property. It was getting rebranded, renamed. It was going to turn into Hard Rock Lake Tahoe. So it was changing to a new, and they needed to shut the property down. The owners of the property messaged, came to see my show, and they had a meeting with me, and they said, hey, listen, we would love to keep you here, but I go, hey man, do what you got to do. You're
Right.
selling it, you want all the things. All right, that's a backstory. At the end of this, okay, there was an opportunity for me to produce for the first time my own show as a residency in Lake Tahoe. And I went and talked to the landlord of it's kind of like an outdoor, it's not an outdoor mall per se, but it's an outdoor shopping mall. It's like a really cool location right at the bottom of the gondola. Anyways, I was like, I'm going to go in there and do a show there and I'll produce it myself. Well, the promoters that I had been working with on the last contract that was ending, they knew that I had this spirit of entrepreneurship and I had already produced my show on tours on the West Coast, just not in Tahoe because of the non-compete. There was like, hey, look, when you're here, you can't, you know, it's a conflict of interest.
Right.
But we were coming to an end. And so he offered me a contract that would lock me in for 12 months. It was a 1-year contract at X salary and at but it had an undisclosed venue. And so what happened was is I saw this, and at first he was saying this is an extension to the property. And this was before we knew the property was closing, mind you. So
Oof.
he said, hey, look, we're going to extend another 12 months, sign here on the dotted line. But it didn't have the venue disclosed because he knew it was closing, but
Yep.
I didn't yet. And so I looked at it and I just said, well, this is unsignable. I looked at it, it's unsignable. One, because you didn't give me a big enough raise, frankly, because the way that it was working is, you know, I didn't have leverage. When I first opened my show in Tahoe, I was new, my first residency, and they offered me a salary, a weekly salary, and show rates in entertainment, you usually get a week on a running show, you get a weekly salary, okay? And it has a cap of how many shows per week. And if you end up selling more and you do more shows per week, you get bumps and you're kind of prorated, okay?
Makes sense. Incentive plan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I negotiated down and I said, I want you to give me a lower guarantee and I want bumps in ticket sales, not as in many shows that we do. Because it's a flat rate per week. And if we add a show, it's prorated. You get X per show. Doesn't matter how much we sell. I said, no. And all entertainers take that. All of them take that. And they just, that's standard. And I said, no, give me a lower base, but I want bumps in X amount of tickets sold. I get a bump of this much. X amount of tickets sold. I get a bump of this much. X amount of tickets. I had three levels.
Yep.
What do you think I did? It's the whole point of having ownership. I was out there
Right.
hawking tickets. I was promoting the show like crazy because I made out more off of it, right? And so, anyhow, he knew this. So he offered me this contract, undisclosed. And I just said, and at the time, the promoter was making more than me. I get it. But now we had some success over a couple of years. He knew the property's closing. I didn't know yet. He offered me a raise, but not nearly as much. And I came back and I said, and I made a mistake in this contract negotiation. I really did, but I was also 25, 26, and I was, you know, I didn't know. And I approached it wrong. And what I did is I came in here and I say, hey, this contract is unsignable. This is what I want. And I knew that they were going to go, no way. But I also then had already figured out, well, this is how it works. And so I explained to them. And I did it in reverse. What I should have done was I said, hey, look, I'm going to propose we do this, right? Give them the how we're going to make it happen. Then on the back end, saying, incidentally, that's going to give you guys this much money and it's going to make me this much money. But I started with, I want this. And they go, no. And I go, well, I'm smarter than you because I figured it out. Like that's an arrogant kid.
Well, that's that young testosterone just pumping through the veins, right? You're like,
Oh,
nope,
yeah.
this is I'm
You
doing
young
this is
buck.
what it's gonna be. It's
Let me tell you, was it
like
ever?
the story of the young bull and the old bull walking down the hill, right? Like just you're gonna walk down the hill.
Yeah. And so, long story short, and I've never told this story publicly on this is the first time I've ever told this story. I eventually said, I'm not signing this because essentially I'm gonna make more money than they would now, the promoters. I was like, I'm gonna make this much money, and you're gonna make this much money, and you're gonna make good money, but I'm now making more than you. And they didn't like that because no entertainer had they ever booked before did that. And that never was the case. And so he said, I remember he had such an attitude. And I basically didn't sign the contract.
Well, you're promoting the show better than he could, right?
And so then
So.
what happens is a few weeks later, luckily I didn't sign it. A few weeks later, we find out that property's closing and the owners come and they see my show. They take their families. They say, hey, we wish you could stay. And I'm like, I could have signed that contract and been locked in. And it, because it didn't have an undisclosed theater location, he could have said, oh, we're going to put you here.
Yep, and you just gotta go.
And I have to go. And so I certainly said, you know, if I would have signed that, I mean, I'm sure that we could have gone into legal battles and gotten some, I could have received maybe 3 months of salary or something, whatever it is. But the point was this, is that I didn't have a residency. That what that promoter did is ruin the opportunity that I was trying to do at this other location that I was going to produce myself. He ruined that. When I came back to Tahoe, he sent me a cease and desist trying to start problems in the casinos, because as soon as they see anything legal, the casinos goes, get rid of it. We don't want anything to do with it. And so I had to change a bunch of work. It was so stupid. Anyways.
So were you considered like self-promoting and there was no one else doing it, so the promoters were worried about their jobs?
Yeah, they're writing about market share. Because I have a better product than them, right? Like I have a better product than them. I mean, I have a really good show. The reviews are there and they know that. And they also saw my hustle, my drive. So anyways, I got that fake contract. Okay. Luckily I didn't sign it, but I had no opportunities and I was really at a loss. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I have nothing. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Then in the story I said in Main Street Over Wall Street is that my dad had a suggestion for me and he goes, I have a great idea. This is going to be awesome. Why don't you work with Taylor Swift? And I was like, Dad, what are you talking about? Like, this doesn't even make sense. And incidentally, I ended up just a few months later, a couple months later, ended up working with Taylor Swift on Blank Space for the American Music Awards. And this is something that I want your audience to hear and listen to. And I said this at Main Street Over Wall Street. And really, if I have any, the epitome of anything that I have is like a as a philosophy of life is that Jimmy, Frank, all you listeners, we have this spirit. We want to continually better ourselves. We're always looking for opportunities. We're looking to maximize our potential. We're looking to make cash. Whether that's for investing, whether that's for saving, whether it's for just stacking money, right? Whether it's providing for your family, whoever it is. I tell you this, the greatest thing that you're going to do in life, you haven't even done yet. And when
100%.
you wake up with that thought, when you wake up, right? Having that feeling in your soul, you wake up with excitement, and then that allows you to fulfill your greatest potential. That alone. And so I kind of live by that.
That's probably one of the top five golden nuggets I've ever heard on our podcast, to be completely honest.
I appreciate that, man. And let me tell you something. I've worked on that message and that feeling because I didn't know how to translate it. I didn't know how to convey it. And it's a message of encouragement, but also realizing there's that hustle and grit and work in front of it.
Yeah,
And
100%. And
so,
it aligns with what Cody says with your North Star principle, and that's really the North Star principle, right? In a way.
so funny is that I remember, I don't know if I should say this, but okay, shh, everybody. After in one of the production meetings, after the main show to Wall Street, at the end of the day, we have a big production meeting with everybody. I'm a magician and telling secrets. It was kind of like no one on the team had heard me. As I said, that was the first time I ever gave that keynote and that story and that message. And afterwards, everybody kind of was like, that was killer. That was gold. Like you're out there helping sell for us. And that's not what my job is, you know? And everybody kind of just said that that message resonated with them in the production and was great for, obviously, it's great for sales. It's great for the whole event. It's great for what the business of contrarian thinking. But most importantly, is
Was
that,
raw and authentic.
yes, we want you to make money. Of course. That's what this is, man. That's what this podcast is. We want you to make money. But I think sometimes we have to be reminded and be encouraged. And I believe that adults need more encouragement than children do. And we spend so much time encouraging kids as we should, but adults need it more because we have pressures, we have responsibilities, we have things on our shoulders. And if you go and look at somebody and be like, Jimmy, you got this, keep going. Frank, my man, let's go, keep going. There's hard times, but look at it. You're going to do something amazing. You don't even know what it is yet, but you're going to do it.
That's it.
But we need that. And that's why this podcast like this is so important. And I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I could preach for hours about this, and I don't mean to like we haven't even hit on the business, and we're just it's motivation and inspiration. And I listeners, I hope you got something out of that. But that's truly my core. And probably you could see that my passion in the message, that I want people to believe that and know that, because I think it makes a difference and I think it can help people. Especially, we go through hard times, not just to make us stronger, which it does, but we go through hard times so that way when we meet somebody along the way who's also going through a hard time, that we can encourage them and say, I understand, I get it, keep going. That is what people need. And people and entrepreneurs and business owners and people who are taking risks to provide for their family that they believe in need that encouragement. And that's what's so important about things like this. So you could hear people's stories, you could hear people and how they overcame those challenges. Because a lesson that I learned is that I always thought that, man, all I need to do is hit this revenue, right? All I need to do is hit this sales mark and then I'm good. Like, man, I'm just striving for this thing. And like, as soon as I hit that, I'll be good. I don't have to worry and stress about, making payroll, right? I don't have to stress about this, oh man, okay, I just need to hit this thing. And then something comes up and I realize that's an illusion. Like, this is a complete illusion that I'm living by. I invented this. I just made this up. Because when you realize that it's not about the revenue, because as soon as you hit your number, whatever it is, whether that's six figures for the first time, whether that's seven figures for the first time, whether that's eight figures for the whatever that metric is, that's your goal. And you can plan on saying, okay, this is how I'm going to utilize it and whatever. But just realize as soon as you reach that goal, you're still going to have problems.
Yeah, we beat ourselves up all the time with the concept. It's like right now, so many entrepreneurs are living the life that they'd even dream of a few years ago. So I
Well,
get it.
that's it. I know we're coming up on time. And I'm sorry that this turned into more of a sermon than a pod. But the thing
Preach.
is that here's the actual, because some people listening being like, hey, it's cool that you have a magician on everything, but what does this have to do with cash flow and business? So let's hit that. Okay. So here's what happened.
Tell us how you made money out of thin air.
Yeah. How to make money. Yeah. Bro. So
Here we go.
here's what happened. Okay. I'm in Cody's contrarian thinking. Okay. And she says, use your expertise in the field or the industry that you know to then that way you and have that unfair advantage as you are acquiring a business and what. And I'm like, I don't, I'm a magician. Like, what business am I gonna buy that, like, what? This made no sense. I don't know anything about HVAC. I don't know anything about, laundromats. I don't know anything about whatever. And so I told her this, and that's how she goes, you're a magician, that's so cool, whatever. And she goes, okay, well, how about this? And Cody gave me sage advice. She says, how about this? Look at your bank statements, see what you're spending the most money on, and then try and acquire something in that space. So you don't just make money with it, but you'll also simultaneously reduce your expenses. Genius. And I go, oh my gosh, I did that. And I was spending, what jumped out at me is I was spending tens of thousands of dollars a year, about $30,000 a year on buying merchandise that I would then retail after my show. So shirts, hats, bags, posters, like things like this. And I go, huh, well, that's interesting. Because some of the stuff doesn't apply. Like, I have a my marketing budget is huge and I do outdoor advertising, billboards and stuff. And I did look into buying billboards. I did.
Yes, I have too.
Yeah, and I love them. I actually love them, but it's very hard because they're very competitive and all the good ones are owned by those three companies. Anyways, so I looked at billboards. But then the merch came up and I go, oh my gosh, I'll look at screen print and embroidery. And I created my deal box and I knew that there were certain things in my deal box. Number one, I needed an operator in place because I perform 5 nights a week. I need to make sure that that business is running and I am very absent in the business. I am owner investor to the max, right? So I need an operator right in place. I wanted for this acquisition for it to be within a driving distance. So I kind of had like a 1 to 3 hours, preferably under three. But if there was a problem that I could get there, right? So that was another deal point. I wanted to make six figures a year. That was my $100,000. Okay. So basically I'm buying $100,000. I don't have to really do much. Okay. And those are my top three. The other one in my space that I'm familiar with, right? And so this is something that I'm already doing. So those were my, that was like my deal box. And I found a company in Carson City that was 35 minutes away from my residency. Great. The
Winner.
seller was in his early mid 70s, started the business over 20 years ago. The GM was his first hire, has been there for over 20 years with him.
Brilliant.
And almost everybody had been there over 10 years.
Even better.
Yeah. And so I went in and I reached out to him and I chatted with him and I said, "Hey, I want to walk around." And it was literally 3 years ago in like December. And I remember because when I walked into tour, he said, "Hey, look, no one knows. So I'm just going to walk you around as you are a customer. Like, we're going to do an order for you." I said, "Great."
That's cool.
So as I walked in, and here's, let me tell you, Frank, let me tell you, here's what really sold me on going, this is the place to buy. As I'm walking, they had gingerbread houses all over the place because it was their annual gingerbread making contest. They do every year. And
That's so
what
cool.
that told me was there's culture here. There's something here that binds them together beyond just the work, that there's an aspect of people like enjoying their job here because they were amazing. Right. So you could see that they cared and they're having fun. And that's huge. And to me, that stood out. And everybody loved him. I walked around and it was great. I go, fantastic. And now I'll spare some of the details, but what ends up happening is my timing to purchase wasn't exactly right. I say, "Hey, this is my timing as far as like my seasonality of it." And he goes, "Well, I'm not going to hold the business and wait, you know, for you." I'm like, "No, if someone comes in here, take it. Like, I get it. I'm just can only tell you my timing for this acquisition." So long story short, I lost the deal. A couple months later, it came back, right? It's still for sale. Let's do it, right? But meanwhile, there was a Main Street over Wall Street, and I took Lloyd Silver. I asked Lloyd Silver, who is the head of product development for Contrarian Thinking for Coty at Main Street over Wall Street at that conference. I said, "Hey, Lloyd, I have two opportunities. There's two businesses in this space. Which do you think?" And I showed him the deals. I showed him the terms. And he goes, "I would go with this one over this one." And so it was like at that conference, I'm getting the feedback. I'm getting a deal review. I'm there in it. And so at that same conference, I talked to somebody else who was just a member. And I said, "Hey, I'm looking at this. I'm thinking about that." And they gave me amazing advice. Okay, so here, and this goes back to with seller financing, you can be creative in your terms. And again, it's, you know what, your price, my terms, my price, your terms. And I was told this from a member, and this is the value of being around people who want the best for you, right? It's the value of being in these communities, it's the value of listening to these podcasts. Here it goes. This woman, Sylvie, she's amazing. She says to me, "Hey, when you're doing your seller financing, negotiate quarterly payments." What? That's so smart. And she goes, "Yeah, it's not going to make a difference to them." She goes, "But that way it allows you some grace in your, there's seasonality to every business, you know?
Absolutely.
We all know that. But if you get a regular, you know, if you have financing from any other regular, you know, institution, that's monthly. You're locked in. And they don't care. They don't matter. This is what you owe on this day." And that quarterly payments allows you to kind of navigate the highs and lows and the ebbs and flows naturally of the cycle of any business. Great idea. Here's the other thing is that she goes, "Well, why don't you also ask to break up the down payment?" Awesome. So what I did is I broke up the down payment. Instead of paying the, because he wanted 50% down and 50% financed.
Wow.
So, yeah, so 50% down, I broke it into half. I said, "How about this? The 50% down, I'll give you 25% at closing, 25% in 6 months. You'll still get the same amount within the same calendar year. So, for tax purposes, it's the same thing."
Right.
And I said, So then those quarterly payments will come into effect. So you'll be making your quarterly payments, whatever. So now he said, what came back is I can't do 50%, but I'll do 2/3, right? So 2/3 at closing, 1/3 in 6 months. Done. So now what just happened? Well, now the profits from the company in the first 6 months were applied to the down payment of the business.
Super helpful. Super,
Super
super helpful.
helpful, right? So now what happens is then what I said to the seller as I'm looking at this, as we're going into due diligence. So the purchase agreement was signed, everything was gone, we're in due diligence. About 2 weeks before closing, I'm looking at this and I'm going, I'm feeling a little uneasy. If we have a bad month and this season, maybe it's going to be tough to make that quarterly payment. And I just kind of was just concerned about this. Okay. So then what ends up happening is I say, I need to change these terms 2 weeks before closing. And I go, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? And I do what I believe is important whenever you're negotiating is one, you have to start with being genuine. That's the
Yes.
biggest thing. And it seems so simple. Like, of course, be genuine, but it's like, nah, man, like you really have to. You really have to go, look, I'm trying to solve for you and me, and this would be a win-win. And so what ends up happening is I go in there and I say, hey, look, you know your business better than I do. There's nothing that I can inform you about that you don't know. You are the expert. So there, first I'm patting him by saying, look, I'm not coming in here going, well, I know this business and this can't do this and you did this wrong or what. No, you're the expert. However, I have a concern. I said, here's my concern. My concern is if in one of those down months, after looking at his P&Ls, I said, like October. He goes, yeah, October's the month. I go, yep. He goes, in 25 years, I've never made a profit in October.
It's so interesting.
It's the
Very
seasonality
interesting.
of the business. And this is across the board. And I can explain why, but it's not relevant here, but I know why. He said, yes. And I go, like October, I am concerned that if we have a bad month, that we can still finance your payments and you'll always get paid. But it's just going to put a little too much stress on the business. And I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want anyone or any concern about you getting your money, payroll being made, and all the business to run as smoothly as possible, like you've been doing for 25 years. And I think it's just a little strain. So here's what I'm going to suggest and see if you're open for this. We delay our financing payments by 12 months. So you still will get your down
Wow.
payment and 50, you'll still get your 50% down, but the financing payments will give me 12 months before we put those into effect. And he said, oh, well, I don't know if I want to delay those payments for 12 months, but how about this? How about we do a 50-50 split on profit? And that becomes the
Oh.
payments in the first 12 months. And I said, done. 0% on the first 12 months because it's profits. We don't know what that's going to be.
Right.
I said, and then come the next, after the first four payments, then it'll be your guaranteed, repayment and terms.
Super creative. Nice job.
This is the best part of seller financing
It's the
because
best
everyone's
seller
like,
financing.
everyone goes, well, what are the standard terms in seller financing? I'm like, whatever you ask for,
Whatever,
and
well, here's the thing.
what
You
they agree
have
to.
to know, yeah, whatever you agree to, you have to know the levers and the tools in your belt, like Batman. You have to know exactly. So you see Batman, he's not like, well, where is my thing that I need the thing? When you
He's
watch,
like got
bro, when you
grappling
watch
hook.
a contractor, right? The contractor has everything on his tool belt and he needs to do something. He doesn't even look. He just goes bang, doom, bang. But why? Because he knows all the levers and all his equipment, all his
Yeah.
tools. He knows exactly where they are. It's not that he has them, he knows where they are. So when he needs to, he can pull it out, right?
Yes.
So now, without even looking and flinching, and that makes the seller comfortable because it feels that you're competent. So
Yes.
I say,
Which is just going to increase your level of negotiability, right? Because
so
if you're struggling and you're like, wait, what was that term or wherever? Now they're losing faith,
absolutely.
right? Confidence in your ability.
So here's what happens. So here's what happens. Okay. So I said 0% on the first 12 months. Now it's two-thirds down of the 50% at closing, one-third in 6 months. The si first 6 months of profit already paid down some of the down payment. Then I have 12 months, 0% interest to pay down from the profit split. Him to already bring down the balance of the financing. Okay. And here's what gets even better. Okay. After that 12 months, one, you want, when you're doing seller financing, you want them to have skin in the game because you don't want them to just like, hey, I got paid, I'm gone. Good luck. You know, if there's a problem, he has some still vested in it. And he was very, very fair and very helpful. There was times that I said, hey, can we do a meeting with you? Can I? He was always, always available, which was great. And then after I saw the first 18 months of the business, my seller financing term was 5 years at 8%. Okay. After the first 12 months, I chopped down the balance by about $50,000. So I just was able to pay $50,000 to my balance at 0%. So
Amazing.
now what I do is I say, hey, we're going to start bringing in our quarterly payments, but 8% with the new balance reduced my liability, my rate, or my
Payment.
payment, I should say my payment by, I don't remember. I can think about it, but it reduced my payment obviously because now it's $50,000 less. So I said, but I'm still going to pay you what we'd agreed upon at the higher balance, but more is going to go to your principal. He goes, great. I said, so nothing changes, but now I just maximized, you know, that thing. But
Like
then
paying extra every month on a mortgage.
that's exactly right. But then in 6 months, I already knew what I was going to do because that nut is still pretty big. The 8%, that's still pretty chunky, you
Oh,
know, especially when it's only over 5 years. Well, I have a rental in Vegas. And so I look at my rental and I go, well, I'm just going to do a HELOan out of my rental and pay him off, right?
Borrow the money yourself.
And now I paid him off. But what do I do? My balance is, let's say, again, we're going to use round numbers just for the sake of it. My balance is, let's say, was 100 grand. Okay. And I go, hey, look, I really want you to get your money. How about I give you 80 grand now and we call it a day? So he says, well, that seems a little aggressive. I'll take 90. Done. So
To
now,
save $10,000,
I paid about
but not paying the
50,
interest.
yeah, because the way I structured my down payment and that the profits of the business paid for some of the down payment, because the way I structured my terms and the financing in the first year at 0% with the profit split, and because I had the equity in the house to pay him out early on his lo on his the loan balance, I was able to reduce in our purchase agreement. I paid about 15% less for the business than what was in the purchase agreement.
Which is
That's
amazing because
amazing.
he got paid sooner, so everybody's happy here.
Yeah,
Everybody's winning.
and so if he came back and said, and I knew the range, I kind of again negotiating, and again these weren't the exact numbers, but it was, you'll get the idea, is that I said 80, and I was like, you know, I'm willing to pay him 90, but if it's not 90, then I'll just say, oh, that's okay. We'll just continue out in 5 years. You'll get your last payment in 2029. Okay. And then there, you know, but I'm saying that, and it's funny because he will say to me when I have to negotiate with somebody, he's like, you're good. You know, you'll be fine. You'll be good. Because I always tell people, I go, just get me, I just need.
I was pretty impressed with those negotiation skills. Alex, was that an off-market deal or an on-market deal, by the way?
It was an on-market deal. I found it on Biz Buy Sell.
Nice.
Good
All
Yeah.
right. Okay.
Yeah. So you guys, so anyhow, a little bit of encouragement to your listeners, man. It's like, you know, in this space, you're going to need to find the best way to structure the deal. There is, you said, Jimmy, there's no standard in creative finance. It's finding what will work for them, but you always frame it as they're winning. I'm helping you. I want to get you paid out. I don't want you to be concerned with your payments. So when I'm trying to give you repayment, if I run into problems, and again, you have to, you know the business, right? So when you apply this to real estate, the same thing. You can do the same thing. You say, listen, you know this house, you know the payment that you're paying, and you know all the things that you can use, and go, hey, look, this is my concerns. Being genuine and being able to relate, and from their POV, what they want, because they're most concerned about what? Them getting their money.
Absolutely. Alex, let me ask you the questions that we ask all of our guests. The first question is, if someone wants to become a better investor, what do you recommend?
Ooh, a better investor. I think it's obvious is that you have to surround yourself with people who are doing the thing that you want to do. So
Bingo.
if you are, and it doesn't matter what your investment strategy is, I found that I believed in Cody's mission and her in the business acquisition and that strategy more than other strategies for me. It does not mean that there aren't people making money in real estate investing. It doesn't mean there aren't people making money in stocks. It doesn't mean people aren't making money in crypto. People are making money in every single market, in every single industry. But what works best for you? So the idea
Right.
is if you want to be a millionaire, talk to a millionaire. If you want to be a bum, talk to a bum. You know?
Facts.
And
True.
so, you get around the people who are doing the thing that you want to do, who are investing the way that you want to invest, and find out what they're doing and absorb, absorb, absorb.
Next question. What is one book that you've read lately that you consider a must read?
I love this book and I've read it many times and I try and go through it a couple times a year, and it's a very easy read. And could finish it in one day. In fact, the first time I read it all in one day because I couldn't put it down. Ogmandino, The Greatest Salesman in the World.
Good stuff.
If you don't know, do you, either one of you guys know those books? That book?
No, I haven't heard
Okay.
that one.
Well,
And you
I
get, I got a
will.
couple books behind me here, so I haven't heard
Yeah.
that one.
I'll tell you what, this book is a book that Michael Jackson was reading right before he was making the Thriller album. And it's a beautiful story, and I believe that that is a must read for every single, especially entrepreneur. And everything's a sale. And I like to say, because we could say everything sales, right? Everything sales.
Yep.
I have a little different take on that, which I think everything's a show.
I like
Everything's
that.
showbiz.
I like
Is
that.
that the showbiz is I'm
There you go.
now, my audience is the seller. And I have to put on a show, not inauthentic, because an audience can identify when the person is just doing an act and putting on an act and don't mean the passion, right? That this is a show. Right now, this podcast, you guys are doing a show and you
Yeah.
guys are caring about your listeners. Your listeners are your audience. When you're in negotiations, the people that are in the room with you, be it a seller or a buyer, that's your audience, and you're doing a show for them. And your job is to give the audience, and my job is to give the audience every single night in my magic show the best experience possible. And when your audience gets the best experience possible, okay, they will leave my show going, I don't know how he did it, but I want to go back and I want to tell people. And when you give your audience, which is your customer, the best experience possible. When you make them feel what you want them to feel, when you make them experience what you want them to experience, they'll leave product in hand going, that was the best experience I've had. I don't know how they did it, but I want to go back and do business with these guys and I'll tell other people. And so everything's a show. And if you treat things like that and you treat people like an audience that has have an invested interest in delivering the most authentic performance, and I don't mean that to be fake. I mean that to be genuine, that that's when you're going to do the best work and your audience and your people are going to get the best product and or experience from your business.
I like the
Yeah.
word that you said, passion, in there. That was important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, last question. What do you want to be when you grow up? Which basically means 5 or 10 years down the road, where do you see you and your business?
That's so funny because I just had this conversation last night with a really good friend of mine.
This is great. The perfect timing.
Perfect timing. I love what I do, doing shows 5 nights a week in casinos. I love that. What I'm passionate about is not unlike what we've been discussing now. And so I'm getting into more keynote speaking and I'm getting to more business events like this. And maybe that's why we went so long
Ah, this is good. That's
and
good.
people can hear the
I don't
passion.
even have a timer.
Okay. And that's why people can hear the passion in my voice, because I really truly believe in it. And I believe that what I'm meant to do and what I will do is to continue to encourage people with practical examples of how they can reach their greatest potential. And I'm right now in the process, and again, man, you're getting a lot of firsts. I'm working on an event called More Than Magic. And it's a right now I want to treat it as a one-day event. It eventually, I think, will turn into a weekend. It's going to be an event where the goal is to bring in inspirational speakers, but also world-class entertainment. And when people come in, it's about wonder. It's combining and about wonder, connection, and inspiration. And when you can have a speaker, not unlike what I'm doing on this podcast, which is inspiring and
Absolutely.
educating people, but then you pair that with great entertainment and magic, you're gonna go, wow. And it's gonna be an unreal event. I've been to a lot of events and business events, and I think what they're missing in all of these business events is the show. You want to entertain and give them a show, not just the education. Of course we want the education, of course we want the tactics, of course we want the takeaways, of course we want the ahas, yes, but also let's perform for them so they walk out going, that was awesome, like you leave when you leave a great concert or a great sporting
Make
event.
it memorable.
Make it memorable.
That's
And so
exactly right.
I'm working on an event. It's going to be called More Than Magic. It's Wonder, Connection, and Inspiration. It's a summit in Lake Tahoe, and the goal is to have some big names come out. This is an event annually that I produce and I host an MC, and I just want everybody to leave when they leave More Than Magic saying, this is the best day I've had in like forever.
That's incredible.
So that's what I'm working on. That's where I see myself in
I
5
love
years.
it.
And you guys will be invited, of course.
Oh, hell yeah. I appreciate that. So, guys, you heard it here first. More than magic. We have Alex Ramon. Alex, what's the best way to get a hold of you? If somebody wanted to follow you on social media or get a hold of you?
Social media is great. Instagram, probably primarily at
Okay.
Alex Ramon on Instagram. My business, my screen print embroidery company, is Innovative Imprints on Instagram. And my website is www.alexramonmagic.com. If any of you guys are in the Lake Tahoe area, I'm there 9 months of the year. I'm at Caesars Republic, I have a shows there. And please message me, come on by, mention Cashflow Kings. We'll say hi to you. We'll make sure you get some VIP treatment. And it's really great to have these conversations with people who are like-minded that have a passion for this kind of information and this kind of industry and this specifically of like what we're talking about. It doesn't apply to everybody. Entrepreneurs are special people. They do the greatest magic, which is, again, they create products and services for the entire world. And that's magic right there. I mean, it's one of the, it's the hardest job you can possibly have. And
Hell yeah.
so everybody here listening, I wish you the best. If you're ever in Lake Tahoe, please say hi.
All right, guys. So you heard the man, Alex Ramon. Go find him on Instagram. Check out his website as well. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode of the Cashflow Kings podcast. In between podcasts, check out our daily content on Facebook and Instagram or our website, thecashflowkings.com. Cheers to your success.
You have a new follower right here at the Star of Tahoe there, sir. The
Ah,
basic
great.
Cashflow Kings, sorry, the Cashflow Kings program is for basic entertainment purposes only. We do not give official legal, tax, or investment advice.